Party Bible being placed to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, and if you're continuing on our studies through this chapter, commencing our studies in this chapter, we'll finish chapter 5.
Nehemiah chapter 6. And before we come to the preaching of the Word of God for this morning, can we just still our hearts again, please, in a word of prayer? And let's ask for the Lord to come and to speak to us today out of His most holy Word. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee again for Thy precious Word. And O God, we pray that as we now look into Thy Word for this time, we ask, O God, that this day that we might hear the voice of God. Lord, we've not come to hear the imaginations of man. Lord, we've come to hear what God the Lord would have to say to us. Lord, as we continue on in our studies through this book, and as we think again of the life, the character of Nehemiah, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be challenged. God, we pray that You'll give us the spirit of Nehemiah in this day and generation. Help us, Lord, to stand, and having done all, to stand. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless Thy Word to every waiting heart. We pray, O God, that You'll take all that is of Thyself, and may we hide it within our hearts. Take all that has been of man, and Lord, may it be forgotten. And Lord, we pray that through it all, Thy name would be honored and glorified. Bless us, we pray, as we come around the Word of God for this time. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. So having overcome the real possibility of the work of God being halted from inside the work, as we saw in chapter number 5, surely it's now time for Nehemiah to get on with the real work at hand. Surely it's time now for Nehemiah to get on with the building of the wall and see it completed. After all, that's what he was there in Jerusalem to do. Surely the attacks now will come to an end, and he and the people will now get on with the work that they're called to. Well, sadly, that wasn't the case. Because you see, as we come into chapter number 6 today, we see that Satan never gives up in his attacking in the work of God. Because as we come into chapter number 6, we are faced once again with yet another attack on God's work from the enemies that we have already come across. Nehemiah faced a determined opposition. Nehemiah faced men who were unrelenting in their attack on the work of God. Nehemiah faced men who were determined. They were going to hinder the work and halt the work, come what may. But thank God that while the enemy was unrelenting, so too was Nehemiah. Because just as the enemy was unrelenting in their attack to stop the work of God, so Nehemiah was unrelenting in his desire and determination to do the work of God. And so enter the scene for another time. Our friends, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, they really were quite a bunch. And as the verse number 1, chapter 6 says, and the rest of our enemies. The whole hordes of hell out again to attack the work of God. Of course, they're never too far away. Because sadly, Nehemiah had not seen the last of his opponents. Trouble was never too far from his door. Why was that? Why were the enemies back again? Well, you read there in verse number 1. Because they heard that he had builded the wall. Why was the enemy on the attack again? Why had the enemy not ceased and given up? Because Nehemiah had not ceased, the people of God had not ceased, and the work was continuing on. As we've pointed out in the past, and it comes again here in this verse, progress in the work of God always provokes the enemy to stop the work. The enemy's heard all the advancement of the work, just as they heard. If you remember, back in chapter 4 and the verse 1, they had heard that the wall had been built and was being built. And the work is still going on. The wall is still being built. It's still not completed yet. The work is still not done. You see, once the work advances, and once the work of God shows signs of moving forward, the enemy is always exposed and the enemy will always come to attack. However, this exposure that we see here in chapter number 6 is somewhat different. Because the enemy now is a little more subtle. In chapter number 4, we noticed direct warfare. They declared warfare on the work of God. There was outright hostility to the work of God in chapter 4. But as we come into chapter number 6, there's still opposition. And the enemy is still attacking. But now he uses different methods. He's now more devious. He's now more crafty. He's now more cunning. Because you see, when the devil fails to stop the work of God by one method, he will use another method. And another method which is more cunning, more subtle, more sly. And on the face of it, it doesn't appear all that bad. The devil is the master of deception. And he will use any method and every method in order to stop the work of God and to confound the workers of God. And so this morning, as we come into chapter number 6, I want us to look at what we have entitled the subtlety of Satan. Because he hasn't come now as an avenger, open and outright. But he has come now as an angel of light. Harmless, pleasant, very placid. The subtlety is seen here in chapter number 6. As we think of the subtlety of Satan, I want you to see here his devices. Notice Satan's devices here, first of all. Now, we've already come across some of the devices that Satan uses as he seeks to attack the work of God in the previous chapter. As we've said, he has tried outright warfare and hatred. He has slandered, he has abused. He has sought to infiltrate, as we saw in chapter number 5, the work from within, by causing the people to turn on each other. But Satan is ever ready to use any tactic and every tactic. And we see something more of his devices here in this chapter. But as we say, and we want to repeat it again, they are now more subtle. They're now more discreet. Notice the devices that he uses here. First of all, he uses an appealing compromise. Notice what Sanballat and Geshem said to Nehemiah, or rather what they sent their enemy, their servants to say unto Nehemiah. Look at it in verse number 2. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, that is Nehemiah, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the place. Some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Now that seems very acceptable. Doesn't seem anything wrong with that. Well, these men, they want to talk with us. They want us to meet together. Before we go into that subject, and it's something that we will deal with, I believe that what they were doing here in verse number 2, what the enemy was ultimately trying to do and what they were setting up here, they were setting up an ambush for Nehemiah. They knew that Nehemiah was pivotal to this whole work. And they thought if they can remove Nehemiah out of the scene, then the work would stop. That is their real intention, and we'll come back to that in a little moment's time. But notice how this intention is dressed up. How is it made more appealing? How is it made more acceptable? Well, it's made more appealing and more acceptable with those velvet words there in verse number 2. Come. Nehemiah, come, let's meet together. Let's talk about this. Let's work all these things out. Let's see how we can move forward together. Nehemiah, leave the work for a little time. Let's talk about this. The crucial words that I want you to notice there in verse number 2, and don't miss them, underline them. Meet together. Let's come together, Nehemiah. Let's just sit down and work all of this out. Let's all be as one. At the end of the day, we're all friends, aren't we? Now, let's remember for a moment who is issuing this invitation to have this conference in play in the Valley of Ono. It's from Sambalat and Geshem. Now, doubtless, the others were involved in it as well, but these are the two ringleaders, Nahum Deir in verse number 2. These were the very same people who just a very short time ago had accused Nehemiah and the people of God of being weak and feeble and insignificant. They had accused Nehemiah and the work of really being useless. They weren't really workers at all. And any work that they did do wouldn't last. These were the people who were filled with rage and filled with hatred concerning the work of God. They hated the work of God. They hated the servants of God. They hated anything to do with that work. They were open haters of the work of God. They were enemies of the work of God. They were those who had publicly and openly avowed themselves to be against God's work. And it's now these very same people who are looking to have this conversation, this conference. They wanted to meet together, come together. I believe that in that invitation that was issued, there is an appeal there to compromise. Give a little. Because there is no record on the part of Sambalat and Geshem that they have changed their minds or changed their views. There's no account of Sambalat and Geshem saying, well, actually the work that you're doing is a tremendous work. It's the work of God, and the hostility that we have shown and the hatred that we have shown was wrong, and we plead before God for forgiveness for that. There's no record of a change of heart here on the behalf of Sambalat and Tobiah. They were as determined to stop the work of God. They hated the work of God as much in chapter 6 as they did in chapter 4. What they were asking Nehemiah to do was to compromise his position, that he eventually would give in and eventually would give up. And compromise is a classic but crafty device of Satan. Let's meet together. Let's come together. There's a whole thought of unity there. There's nothing wrong with trying to sort out our differences. Let's reconcile our people. Of course, what is the call today to the Church of Jesus Christ? And where does that call come from? It comes from those outside the Church of Jesus Christ. What is the call today to the church? Let's come together. Let's be united. Let's all have one church. That's the mindset today. That's the mindset that has been prevalent for many years. Let's meet together. Let's become friends. And that mindset and that compromise has plagued our land now for years. Because rather than standing true to God, as we will see from the example of Nehemiah in a moment, rather than standing true to God and rather than standing for the truth of the Word of God, too often too many have compromised and given in to this crafty, cunning invitation to come together. This invitation which comes from the enemies of the work of God, Sanballat and Geshem, they did not have the best interests of the work of God at heart. And I can assure you today that the enemies of the Church of Jesus Christ still do not have the best interests of the Church of Jesus Christ at heart. And too many have compromised with the devil, lowered the standards, and lowered the sufficiency of the Word of God. What these people were doing, what Sanballat and Geshem were doing, they had only one aim, one desire, and that was the destruction of the work of God. As they looked to Nehemiah to compromise and to give in. And this whole call still comes today. Man never changes. The devil is still as crafty and as cunning as he has always been. And he will use those from outside of the Church of Jesus Christ. And they will issue this call, let's come together. Let's all be united. Because if we sit down and talk together, well, we'll all find common ground. Folks, the only common ground that we will find is the common ground of the Word of God. Not common ground in conferences with the enemies. Not common ground and conflaps with those whose desire is to stop and to hinder the work of God. You see, what today is needed in the Church of Jesus Christ is not integration, but it's separation. The Church of Jesus Christ today and in all generations and in all ages is to be separated unto the gospel. And I'd say something more here. The enemies of the work of God have no part to play in the work of God. Now I know that's a message that would not be acceptable. You'd be branded all sorts of things. But the enemies have no part to play in the work of God. That's exactly what was happening here. The enemies, Sanballat and Geshem, they're saying, we want to have a part in your work. We want to try to help you, Nehemiah. We want to be united and let's go forward. And as we've said, there is no sign of them giving in or changing their minds. You see, Nehemiah didn't need to meet with these people. Nehemiah didn't need to leave Jerusalem and come and sit in the valley of Ono, miles away from Jerusalem, and have a chinwag with these people. That wasn't why Nehemiah was called from the palace in Shushan. He was called to Jerusalem to do the work of God, not to be best friends with the enemies of the work of God. Our denomination, folks. The Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster was founded on the doctrine of separation as we have it in the Bible. Our forefathers were hated and our families were reviled because they dared to be separated unto the gospel. I know in my own family, we were shunned upon. People didn't even talk to us. And yea, they even spat upon some of members of my family. Because we dare to come out of the apostasy. We dare to stand for truth. And that is the key is right throughout the history, especially in the early days of the founding of our denomination. We stood for truth. While all around were compromising and running and rushing for conflabs and conversations. With every false religion and most especially with Rome. Thank God he raised up this denomination to stand for truth. And have things changed? Do we not need to stand for truth anymore? Of course we do. because the subtlety of Satan is still so prevalent today. You see, the whole ecumenical movement in our land, and in our province especially, it's been so subtle. And made this sinful appeal today to the Church of Jesus Christ, come and join with us. Come, let's all be one. Let's set aside doctrine. That's why doctrine is hated today. That's why the enemies hate the doctrine and the teaching of the Word of God. They say, let's set aside doctrine and let's all be devoted. That mindset has blighted or cursed our nation and our province for so long. Compromise with the enemy, compromise with Rome, compromise with world religions. You know, if you have a meeting today, any sort of meeting today, every religion under the world has to be represented, otherwise you're a bigot. You come to worship the true and the living God, every religion and no religion has to have a part to play. And yet the false religions, the Church of Rome, they haven't changed their position. They're still as adamant in their views. They haven't watered down their thoughts. And yet, sad to say, those who should have known better in Protestant circles have been sucked in by this call to compromise. And not seeing the hand of Satan in that call. This is a classic tactic of Satan in order to hinder and hamper the work of God. I say today, and I'm not ashamed to say it, that we are called to be separated. We are called to separate unto Christ and not to be in constant conversation with the enemy. Hebrews 13 and verse 13, let us therefore go on to him without the camp. Outside of the camp, yes, bearing his reproach. In other words, let's identify with Christ. Let's take our stand for him. Let's not compromise on the truth and the teachings of Scripture. We are not called to compromise truth. We are called to contend for truth. And so this tactic here of Satan, it was a classic one. His device, there was an appealing compromise. But notice another device that he uses here in this chapter. Not only an appealing compromise, but now there's an abuse of communication. Because in verse number 5, we read of Sanballat communicating to Nehemiah through a letter. But in this communication, there was a terrible accusation against the man of God. Now, we'll come back and deal with verse 4 in a moment, but let me just set the context why this letter has come, because 4 different times this invitation came to come and meet together. Nehemiah refused it each time. And then the tactics change in verse number 5, and this open letter of communication. And in this open letter of communication, there are all sorts of accusations. Verse number 6. He accuses Nehemiah and the people of being rebels. They wanted to be the king of Persia. Verse number 6, they accuse Nehemiah and the people of building the wall for an ulterior motive. They wanted to usurp authority, is the claim. And what was it all based on? Well, look what it says there in verse number 6, wherein was written, that is, in the letter, it is reported. Nehemiah, you're wanting to rebel against the people. You're ultimately wanting to be king. And where is the evidence for this? Well, there is no evidence. Because it just says, verse number 6, it is reported. This accusation that is made in this letter was based on gossip. based on false rumours that were going round, it is reported among the heathen. It was an open letter, as you read in verse number 5. And so all the enemies of the work of God, they wanted everybody to know what Nehemiah was up to. But Nehemiah, as we'll see, wasn't up to any of it. So what did they do? They resorted to lies. And these lies then were spread among the heathen. One reported it to another. Did you hear what Nehemiah really wants to do? He wants to be king. Do you know what they're actually doing there in building the wall? They want to rebel against the people. Don't have anything to do with those people. And that lie spread and spread and spread and spread because it was reported among the heathen. What an awful thing gossip is. What an awful thing untrue rumours are in the work of God, and Satan will use that to try to destroy the work of God. Satan was using these false rumours that were spreading like wildfire through the heathen in order to stop and to hinder the work of God. We are not to be people of gossip. We're not to spread stories. Even if those stories are true, I don't believe we should be spreading them. Rather, we should be bringing them to the place of prayer and praying for those people. But these stories were spreading across the whole of those enemies. And now it's been put into a letter. And the devil is up to his old tricks again. You see the devices of Satan? You see just how evil and wicked and just how low Satan will stoop to destroy the work of God. Satan's devices. But notice as well here, not only Satan's devices, but I want you to see here now the servant's discernment. The servant's discernment. So this invitation has now come. The invitation extended to Nehemiah, come and meet together. And these abusive letters have been received. And Nehemiah has been falsely accused of doing something that he did not do. What was Nehemiah to do? How should he respond? Go on the offensive. Well, let's come and meet. Let's set the record straight here. No. Nehemiah here displayed tremendous discernment in this whole matter and this whole approach. And we do well to take careful note of how he acted. Notice his discernment at the end of verse number 2. Because after this invitation is issued, notice what he says. They thought to do me mischief. We come back to what we said at the commencement. Here, Nehemiah discerned that the real intent of the enemies, Sambalat and Geshem and Tobiah and all the rest of the enemies, their real intent, it wasn't to have afternoon tea in the Valley of Ono. It was to destroy Nehemiah. It was to kill him. Take him out of the scene. Nehemiah realized that this invitation was to take him away from the work of God and to cause the work of God to cease. Because Sambalat and Geshem and Tobiah and all the rest of them, they had still been opposing the work of God right up until this very point. But Nehemiah knew their real intention. And why did Nehemiah know what the real intention of Sambalat and Geshem was in this invitation? How did he show such discernment? Well, as we have seen in the past, it was because he was a man of God. He was a man of prayer. He lived for God. He kept close to God. And the Lord gave him that spiritual discernment. And he discerned that this invitation was, in fact, an invitation to take his own life. They were going to deal with Nehemiah. Remember, these people were wroth. They were red with rage. So Nehemiah's discernment here is well-founded. They have only one desire, and that is to stop and to harm the work of God. Come together. Compromise. Meeting together with the enemies of God does nothing to help the work of God, or does nothing to move the work of God forward. Rather, it hinders the work of God. And it hinders the blessing of God in the work. So it's discernment there, but then see how he answered and where this discernment led him to in verse number 3. It led him to refuse and to rebut the offer. Look what he says in verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them. He didn't even waste his time to go and speak to them. He said, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Nehemiah was a man who stood for the truth. Nehemiah was in our day and generation, he would be branded a bigot. I'm doing a great work. I'm not coming down to you. I don't want anything to do with you. You see, the work of God was his number one priority. He saw the work of God as a great work. And you see, whenever we see the work of God as a great work, and whenever we have the work of God as our number one priority in our life, then we will not be wayward by all other sorts of invitations. Nehemiah wasn't going to leave the work that God had called him to. Even though the enemy was appealing to him, and it all seemed very pleasant, and all of these great platitudes, come, let's meet together. Nehemiah says, I'm not meeting with you. I'm not speaking with you. Don't have any reason, don't have any need to speak with you. You're speaking to me and us speaking together. It's not going to help the work of God, and I'm here for one purpose, and that is the work of God. He had discernment, he had determination. And notice there the persistence of the enemy. Verse number 4, yet they sent unto me 4 times. And I answered them after the same manner. Time and time and time again, this call came from the enemies. Come and let's meet together. They were trying to wear Nehemiah down. Just one opportunity for him to say, well, okay, then, let's meet. But in each time he showed great discernment and great determination, I'm not meeting. As has often been said, speaking on this verse, many commentators, that phrase, Nehemiah said, oh no, to meeting, in oh no. He said, I'm not going to meet with you. I'm not going to have this conference with you. He said, oh no, to the valley of oh no. He said, no to the deceitful and the devious plans of Satan. He wasn't going to have anything to do with it. He was going to press on with the work of God. Nehemiah said no to compromise. Nehemiah said no to climb down. Nehemiah said no to change. You extend all the invitations you want, but I'm resolved to do the work of God. And doing the work of God did not involve the collaboration or the cooperation of the enemies of the work of God. Nehemiah had nothing in common with Sanballat and his cohorts. What input would these people have in God's work? The tragedy, as we said today, is that the enemies of the work of God are being given an input into the work of God. But Nehemiah was firm in this issue. He wasn't negotiating. He wasn't having conferences. You remember what Nehemiah said to his opponents way back there in chapter number 2 in the verse 20. He said of them, ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Nehemiah 2:20. The enemies of God were going to have no part in the work of God for Nehemiah. It was a clear, determined stand for separation. Oh, how we need the spirit of Nehemiah today. Not seeking cooperation, but rather seeking to contend for the truth. Perhaps if there was more discernment and if there was more determination today amongst those who profess the name of Christ in Protestant churches, there would be less confusion and there would be less chaos in our land. I have no hesitation today in saying that the ecumenical movement has blighted this province. God give us ever the strength and the backbone to stand up and to take our stand, despite the subtle devices of Satan, to be separated unto the gospel. Maybe you say today, but I thought you were one of those new generation of Free Presbyterian ministers. No, I'm not. You see, Nehemiah could take this stand with a clear conscience and an unblemished record. He had nothing to fear from the accusations of the enemy. Because notice what he says about those accusations there in verse 8. He says, "Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest." Your accusations, those lies that you have spread, there's not one element of truth in them. Your accusations, they're all false. Nehemiah is not guilty of wanting to usurp the authority of the king. Nehemiah was not wanting to become king in the land of Persia. Nehemiah had no desire for that. If he had a desire for self-promotion, he would have stayed where he was in Nehemiah chapter 1 in the palace. And he could flatly deny all those accusations because they were untrue. Look what he says there at the end of verse 8. He says, "But thou veinest them out of thine own heart." Satan, you're a liar. Sambalat, you're a liar. All his lies that we read of there in verse number 6 and verse number 7, every single one of them was from the pit of hell. But liars are always found out. Satan's devices, the servant's discernment. But finally, as we close now, notice the supplicant's desire at the end of verse number 9. Because Nehemiah now supplicates and petitions Almighty God with the desire for the work. What was his desire? We'll look at it there at the end of verse 9. "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." These attacks, they had caused the hands of the people to be weakened. Verse number 9, we see that. But Nehemiah cries unto the God, "Strengthen our hands." You see, what Sambalat and Tobiah were doing, and all the rest of them, they weren't rising up in opposition ultimately to Nehemiah, to the work. They were rising up in opposition to God. They were seeking to take on Almighty God. They had set themselves against God's work. And folks, that's a very foolish and a very futile exercise for anyone to engage in. Setting themselves against the God of heaven. Every effort and every attempt to frustrate and to stop the work of God is doomed to failure. Nehemiah was convinced of that because he was convinced that God would vindicate his name, and so he desires strength to continue on in the work of God. If there was any element of truth in what they were saying in chapter 6 and chapter 7, I believe, given Nehemiah's character, he would have given up and gone away and said, "Well, I'm the problem. But he could say with unblemished record and with a pure heart before God, "Thou hast veined this out of thine heart. Now therefore, God, strengthen my hands as I continue on in the work of God." He brought the Lord onto the scene. He gave his enemies over to the Lord once again. Nehemiah didn't stoop to the level of his enemies, but rather he petitioned Almighty God to give him strength as he sought to do the work of God. Nehemiah was being provoked in the midst of this provocation. He turned to prayer and he turned to the Lord. And he brought this whole matter to the Lord in prayer and he said, "Lord, strengthen me. Lord, help me. Lord, sustain me." He brought those attacks to the throne of grace. And he says, "Lord, you deal with Sanballat, you deal with Tobiah, you deal with Geshem, you deal with all the enemies. I just want to get on with the work that you've called me to. And as I do so, Lord, strengthen my hands." Nehemiah realized that he was in a spiritual battle. And so he needed the Lord to strengthen him in that battle. Thank God today the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. May God strengthen our hands today as we seek to continue on and to press on in the work of God. But let's be aware of the subtlety of Satan. He has come as an angel of light, but he is nonetheless devious and crafty. His same desire is to destroy the work of God. Let's be aware of the subtlety of Satan. Let's be aware of his devices. Let's not, as Paul said, let's not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let's ask God for that discernment that Nehemiah had. And God give us the strength to say no and to stand up for his truth. And God give us his strength to continue on and to do the work that God has called us all to do. O God, strengthen my hands. No better prayer could you pray, dear child of God, in this evil, wicked, perverse generation, as you work for God, as you live for God. Lord, strengthen my hands. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the example of Nehemiah. We thank Thee, Lord, for this man who refused to give in, even though the enemy refused to give up. We thank Thee, Lord.